Hello and welcome to the Haywood County Schools Report. This is Todd Trantham and I will be your host on the show today. Today we will be talking about school improvement plans with our special guest on the program, Dr. Bill Nolte, our interim superintendent. Dr. Nolte, welcome to the show.
Thank you for hosting today. It's always good to be on and talk about the things that we're doing to make our school system better.
So recently we did a show on district improvement plans, and this is almost a part two to that.
Right.
Because today we're going to be talking about the school improvement plans, which build on those district improvement plans. Do you want to begin by just telling just a little bit about what a school improvement plan is?
Well, a school improvement plan, you mentioned at the end of the last program how we don't like to work in silos because you're not as effective. So what the school improvement plans do is they work alongside of the district plan. The district plan is really what us folks, that's not very, maybe the best way to say that, but I am from the South, what us folks at the central office put together as what we're going to do from the system level. Then we ask our schools every 2 years to write school plans with their school data, not district-wide data, alongside of the district plan. And I'll talk a little bit more in just a minute about which areas they will be addressing. They won't address all five of the areas that I explained or we talked about in the last podcast.
So what do we do to prepare our schools for getting ready to do these plans?
Well, there are actually more legal requirements for a school plan than there is for a district plan. The state has some very stringent guidelines about who should work on the plans and what they should include and all those kinds of things. So what we literally did, I think by the time this podcast airs, we'll either be conducting the training or it will have just occurred, but what we literally did in the middle of May, the 15th and 16th, is we provided three sessions, about two-hour training sessions, and our schools got to pick which session they attended, one of the three, and that's because they have lots of things going on, you know, and it's better for one day than the other. So we had three different two-hour sessions, and they attend those sessions. And we begin to show them where the materials are, and it's mainly digital now. And then we begin talking about the legal requirements for school improvement plans. They have to have parent representative. That parent cannot be someone who works at the school. They have to have members of the school improvement team work on the school improvement plan, and some of those members can be appointed by the principal, but other members have to be selected by their peers, grade level chair people or other representatives of support groups. Mm-hmm. Maybe the teacher assistant selects someone to be on that group. So we talk to them about all the legal requirements to have plans and who can be on them. And then we spend the greatest amount of time really during that training talking about the data that they're going to use to justify their plan. I can remember a day and time in the past where a school improvement plan might have had a goal in it in an area where the school was already performing well. You know, they would write a goal for science maybe, and they were already in the top 15% of the state in that area. And we've changed our plans now to the point where they have to show data and really work on places where they can get better. It's not an automatic, I'm going to make this goal. One of the things that we've introduced with starting with our elementary schools this year is we're actually helping them do some comparative data with schools their same size who have about the same free or reduced lunch rate or poverty rate or maybe even a little bit higher, who perform as well as us or better. Those schools are sort of hard to find, to be honest with you, because we do really well given our poverty rates. But we actually have some data platforms that we've put data in, the schools will put data in, and they will actually compare them. And we have some small schools and some large schools and some middle-sized schools, and all of those schools look like us in some way, form, or fashion, but yet they really perform well. And then they'll tease out data about everything from student academic performance to student behavior and communication. And that's really, really neat. And then the last two things that we really do in the plan is we review the district plan, and I won't do that again necessarily here for the podcast, but you can go back and listen. But we talk to them about why our first academic goal in the district plan is what it is and what we're working on. We talk about our training goal in the district plan and what we're trying to do in particular for this plan with principals and other administrators. We'll explain to them the importance of the third goal around student safety and really being able to identify students who have exhibited aggressive and threatening and harmful behavior for a long period of time. That's the third goal. We'll spend a good bit of time on that fourth goal, that innovation goal, and we'll talk to them about strategic long-range planning and how that's going to occur in the fall. And then we'll talk to them about what we will be doing in the district plan to improve communication. And then we'll show them the school form that only has three goals on it. We'll ask them to write alongside of the academic goal based upon their data. We'll ask them to write alongside the student behavior focusing on aggressive student goal. And they may do something, who knows, they may have some special training that they do with their teachers there. And then we'll ask them to write alongside of the communication goal. And that will, all of that will take, when we tease it out, probably an hour and a half. And then the last half hour or so, we will really just have an open discussion. You talked about those open discussions earlier. We'll have this big open discussion about, well, this is our data, and we've been thinking about this. Does that really fit? And I'm not answering their questions necessarily. There may be another school in the room that goes, well, maybe, maybe not. You know, it's just a really good, healthy discussion. And then we'll finish, you know, we'll finish up the training and talk to them a little bit about waivers that the state used to offer. They're not really much available anymore. And then we'll talk about their due dates.
And so we finished up our district improvement plan in April. It was approved by the board.
Right.
And that really started the process of these school improvement plans. They've got a few months, but when are these plans due? What will schools be doing between now and then?
Well, they'll start in the middle of May with these trainings that I just described. And literally throughout the summer and early into next year, their school improvement teams will be doing the same kind of school development at the school site of a plan like we did at the district level. And then they have an electronic submission due date of Friday, September the 14th. And we will then, shortly after that, probably at the next school board meeting, ask our board to approve the school plans. And then we have to tell the state what we've done and how we've done it.
This whole process has certainly evolved over time. I can remember when I started teaching.
Oh,
The district improvement plan was 30 pages long.
It was.
It was written by the principal on a Friday in their office in the summer, in some cases.
I might have done that.
And then presented to their school.
Right.
And now we have this several month long process where we really have these authentic conversations about what we intentionally want to do in our schools to get better. And then those plans are submitted digitally. And there's a lot more accountability now and a lot more coordination between how the district plan and the school plans work together. So these have certainly evolved in the last 20-plus years or so.
They're better. They're better. They're better for the reasons you described. It's not a 30-page wish list. It's very targeted on specific things that the school wants to work on, and it's based upon their data, their information. And there are a lot of people in the room having sometimes very difficult discussions with each other about how they need to tackle a problem.
Well, Dr. Nolte, thank you so much for being on the show today and talking to us about school improvement planning. Guests, thank you for listening. Have a safe and great day.